Okay, we don't So would you move these kids out of the way so we can come here for what we came for? We came to get healed. In the crowd were probably Pharisees. And what do they think?
Could possibly, well, of course, they hated Jesus.
They're thinking, what kind of a rabbi is this? What kind of a great teacher? He claims to be the Son of God, he claims to be whatever he is, and he's going to put children in his lap. This is just more reason why we can't accept this guy for who he is. And then around you also had the sinners. And the sinners, you can see them because they're on the outside of the circle with their heads down there. They don't even feel worthy to get anywhere near Jesus. And they're looking at the children and maybe they're jealous of the fact that these children were having such a close contact with Jesus, the Son of God. But they're thinking, we're unworthy. We're so unworthy to even come close to the Son of God. I'm going to put my head down and I'm going to bow to God and pray to God that he would have mercy on me. And then there's the kids. We know what these are. They just run up and just jump in your lap. They don't care what it says. They're very open, very honest, transparent. Their hearts are just pure and innocent. And they run to Jesus. And Jesus loves hanging around the kids, I think, for all the reasons that all these other people are hanging around. The opposite is the children. Their attitudes are open and they're very transparent. And they're affectionate and they're soft-hearted and they're vulnerable. Here's the thing. Jesus' statement at the very end was what? If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be like one of the kids. You must have attitudes like these kids. Because the thing is that we all identify, maybe, with one of these groups that were hanging around Jesus. These groups that were driven by some agenda. These groups that were driven by something that they needed or wanted from Jesus. Wasn't even necessarily about Jesus. It was all about stuff sometimes that we desire and that we want. Their hearts were all in different places. Sometimes we're like the disciples, aren't we? We've got to keep our time schedule. Kids aren't really good about keeping a time schedule. You're on a trip somewhere and you've got to be somewhere at a particular time, and they always have to use the bathroom right at the worst time. True or false? We just were at the door, and now you're in the middle of, we don't have anywhere to live, and you just got to stop what you're doing, and you have to take them to the bathroom. Kids aren't really good about thinking about time schedule, but we as adults, that's really all we care about, some of us. Keeping a schedule. We've got things that we've got to accomplish. We've got to get somewhere. We've got to be somewhere. We've got something. Just like the disciples. Jesus, let's move past this. Come on. You know, sometimes we ignore opportunities for service because we're in too big of a hurry to get somewhere. Sorry, man, I don't have time to help you with that need you have because, you know, I've got to be somewhere. Sorry, I'm on my way to church. We have to be there at 10:15-ish. And so I have to, you know, I don't have time to help you. So sometimes we're so agenda-driven, we're so schedule-driven to be somewhere. The kids aren't like that. They don't think about time the same way that we think about. Sometimes we're like the people who are sick and hurting. It's all about what we are going to receive from Jesus. Come on, Jesus, I need you to help me right now. I know you've got other things to do, other people to help, you know, but I'm the one who needs your help. So could you stop what you're doing with these other people and could you help me? Because that's really what it's about, is me. And then sometimes we're like the sinners. Too afraid to even get near Jesus. I'm not worthy of Jesus. There's a story a little bit later in the passage, a very famous story about a really short guy who approached Jesus. But how did he approach Jesus? Was he like a little child? was at a distance, and he was up in a tree, and he just wanted to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And he pretty much freaked out when Jesus came to him and actually talked to him. Yeah, I see you in that tree. Come on down from there, and I'm going to your house. What? I'm a sinner. And you're going to touch me, you're going to eat with me, you're going to spend time with me. See, kids are innocent in their viewing of themselves. And so they don't have a problem. They don't have a problem thinking about their own unworthiness. They don't think they have a problem thinking about their own sin because of their innocence. Okay. You know, it's an interesting parallel that Jesus makes in Luke chapter 8. He talks about different types of harlots. And everybody in here has heard this story countless times. But to make the application of this story, this parable to this story that Jesus of the children. Because all of us are one of these types of hearts, right? Or of soils. One of them is the good soil that accepts everything that Jesus has to say, and we tend is that soul is tended constantly. And we're able, the Word of God is able to go into our hearts and is able to grow and flourish. But some of us are like the path. That maybe we hear what is said, but our heart is so hard that nothing ever goes in there. Unfortunately, many of the people that we encounter in the world, that's exactly the way that they are. We teach and we preach and we feel like that we are just wasting our breath. Because it goes on the path and it gets eaten by the birds because it's just too hard for it to penetrate. And then there are some that are on the rocky ground. That it will penetrate, but only so far. And as the Word of God grows, the roots don't have any place to go because the soil is so rocky. And so over time, the sun withers the plant. And then you have the thorny ground. The soil is good. But we allow other things to grow up among the weeds. Among the good stuff, and it's too many weeds. Anybody like to weed? Awful. Anybody trying to get thorns out of a garden? Fun. Real fun. The funny thing about weeds, about thorns too, there's no real spray for it, is there, James? You can get rid of thorns by just spraying stuff? There is? No. Not for thorns, for weeds, right? Thorns are almost impossible to get rid of, except just by hand. How hard is it? They pick your hand even with gloves on. They go through your gloves. And you're supposed to help me make my points, James. I don't care what the truth is. Help me make my points. And so this idea of the thorns is the worldliness, the things in the world that creeps into our lives and chokes out our spiritual life. And so all of us are in one of these four, or are varying conditions of one of these four ideas of soil. So I want to talk just a second about this picture. The picture of Jesus and the children. What do you see when you see this picture? What do you think of when you think about this picture? Actually, when I presented a lesson similar to this at school, and I showed a picture on the screen of one of our seniors who was hugging a special needs child that they had worked with. They went and worked with Special Olympics, and that he was hugging a special needs child. And he had only met her just minutes before the picture was taken. And you look at her face, and I asked the students, I said, what do you see when you see this picture? And some of the answers they gave were, they see acceptance, and safety, and peace, and joy, and contentment, vulnerability. Does that describe you when you have a God? Does that describe you when wants us to feel comfortable enough with Jesus in our relationship with Him to go to Him. The picture, I don't mean it to be any kind of sacrilege, but thinking about sitting in the lap of Jesus, hugging Him like these kids, being like